So the passage is Matthew chapter 18, from verse 1 through to verse 5.
At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to him, placed the child among them, and he said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." Just before I came out today, we were listening to the radio. Each Sunday morning we do. And the service this morning was Jesus washing the feet of his disciples, showing what he does to us.
In the last town where we lived, I had a slightly freaky moment on one occasion. I was one of the ministers of a church in the town centre, and I was walking through the town centre just minding my own business when I heard a small voice really enthusiastically saying, "Hello!" And I looked down, and there was a girl, probably about 7 years old, grinning and waving away at me. And I said, "Hello." But before I could say anything else, her horrified mother grabbed her by the hand and yoinked her away, looking at me very suspiciously. You see, I didn't really know who this child was, and her mother had no idea who this strange bloke was whom her daughter was joyfully greeting. And as she dragged her daughter away, I overheard the mother anxiously ask this little girl, "Who on earth was that?" I didn't hear the girl's reply. I think that this was one of the children from one of the schools that I used to take school assemblies in. And she recognized me and wanted to greet me because I was part of her school life. As far as she was concerned, she knew me. To her mother, I was an unknown man whom her daughter was happily greeting in a way that maybe aroused all sorts of fears for her. We must protect children from those who would exploit them. But we also need to give them space and follow their example to be more like them, to be trusting and joyful and exuberant. Jesus told adults to become like children. He didn't actually say the other way around. So on this Mothering Sunday, I want to explore a little bit about what Jesus said about children, because we've all been children. If I asked you to nominate a great Christian, I wonder who would you say? If we had a vote for the greatest Christian ever, and we're not including Jesus in that because that's the easy answer, the greatest Christian ever, who would you say? Apostle Paul? Billy Graham? Martin Luther King? Mother Teresa? Yeah, I'd actually got most of those written down here. I wonder what your criteria are for who is the greatest Christian. Is it the extent of change brought about in a particular country? The number of people who became Christians through them? The number of people lifted out of poverty? It seems that Jesus' followers often had heated discussions about who was the greatest. They wanted to know whom Jesus rated. Maybe they were hoping for some sort of awards ceremony. Maybe they thought Jesus had a ranking system, a bit like the tennis ranking system or golfers or whatever, where you accumulate holiness points by the good things that you have done until you become number one. So on the account that Matthew tells us about, they came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" I wonder what they thought he would say. Were they thinking he would say one of the Old Testament prophets? Were they hoping perhaps he might nominate one of them? And what were their criteria for greatness? Was it number of miracles? Number of sermons? Number of people turning back to God? Jesus didn't play their game, though. Instead, Jesus said that greatness is shown in childlike humility. That is me. In the Bible, the word for child is the same word as servant. It's about humility. Now, the reason that they were the same sort of word was because in those days, children weren't so much not seen or not heard. They were completely ignored and overlooked. At best, they were tolerated until they were deemed to be adults. And Jesus turned that convention on its head, and he says that the kingdom of heaven is not for the elite, fastest, the fittest, the strongest, the loudest, or even the wealthiest people. It's for the shy, the vulnerable, the trusting, those who are ready to listen, those who are playful, those who delight in little things that adults overlook, those with an amazing capacity to love and be loved, those who are easily forgiving, those who are growing. All of those are characteristics of children. And Jesus says we need to change and become like a child. God's Spirit in us is changing us. Usually it's not a radical, massive, noticeable change that kind of just like that. It's kind of 1 degree shifts. If you start walking in one direction and then you move from that direction in just by one tiny degree, it doesn't make much of an obvious change initially. But when you've walked a mile, you'll be quite a long way from the original line you were walking along. And God changes our character slowly but surely to become more and more like the people he created us to be, more and more like Jesus. The former head of British Cycling, David Brailsford, transformed our British Cycling team to become world beaters and Olympic champions through this philosophy. He says, if you broke down everything you could think of that goes into riding a bike and then improved each one by just 1%, when you put them all together, you get a significant increase. Marginal gains. It's the same idea as 1 degree shifts. Jesus wants his Spirit to change us slowly but surely by 1% marginal gains, if you like. But we can't bring this change about ourselves any more than a jigsaw puzzle can solve itself. God's Spirit is the one who changes us. But we have to be open to that. We have to want that change to happen. And in order to help us to do that, Jesus says, change by becoming like a child. I wonder how you need God's help to become more like a child. Becoming like a child does not mean you scream and scream and scream until you get your own way. It doesn't mean being petulant or obstructive, you know, starfish mode, when you try and get a child into a car seat and they just go like that, and there's no way you can get them in. It's quite the opposite, isn't it? There's no place for arrogance or pride or power games, because those things distort and dethrone God. Becoming like children is asking Jesus through his Spirit to bring out qualities that perhaps we've suppressed: humility, vulnerability, trust, taking the risk of trusting God and trusting others, listening to the stories of others, relishing recreation as well as work, being willing to love and be loved, to forgive and ask for forgiveness. Jesus' disciples asked him who was the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And he said, you can't even get in. You can't even enter the kingdom of heaven unless you become like little children. Now, the kingdom of heaven is not a physical place. It's more of an attitude. It's more of an experience. It's where God is in his rightful place as king. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. When God's will is being done, we are making him king. His kingdom is coming. His rule is being extended in our lives and beyond. So if it's not a place, how do you enter the kingdom of heaven? Well, you make God king. You submit yourself to him. You recognize and desire God's parenthood. You become his children. Jesus' friends assumed that they were already in. They were simply arguing about the pecking order once they were in. And Jesus' response was a challenge. You'll never get in if you don't change your approach. If you don't enter with humility and gentleness and joy as a child. And it's offered as a gift. It's not something you have by right. It's a gift. If you offer a present to a child, you know how they receive a present, don't you? Eager, joyful, yes. That's how God wants us to accept his offer of being part of his kingdom. To receive it joyfully as a gift. We don't get in because of what we've done. We get in because of what Jesus has done. We don't get in through wealth and power, but by assuming the position, the status of a child, learning, growing, absorbing, keen, eager, humble, wanting to know God as parent, as father. There's one more thing Jesus had to say about children in this passage, and it's in some ways quite startling, because he said, when you welcome a child, you welcome him. What does he mean? Well, I think, if I can persuade this to work, that it's about embracing the vulnerable and the weak, the humble. When you embrace someone like that, you embrace qualities that you see in Jesus. I think it's also because he wants us to welcome children physically, literally, as well. Not to exclude them, but to embrace and welcome them. I want to read you an open letter that was written a couple of years ago to parents of children in church. Not because I want to make any critical comments about any church, but actually because to me, this speaks a lot of what Jesus means when he says, welcome children and you will welcome me. So remember, this is a letter written to parents of children in church. Dear parents, you're doing something really, really important. I know it's not easy. I see you with your arms overflowing, and I know you came to church already tired. Parenting is tiring, really tiring. I watch you bounce and sway, trying to keep the baby quiet, juggling the infant car seat and the nappy bag as you find a seat. I see you wince as your child cries. I see you anxiously pull things out of your bag of tricks to try and quiet them. I see you with your toddler and your preschooler. I watch you cringe when your little girl asks an innocent question in a voice that might not be an inside voice, let alone a church whisper. I hear the exasperation in your voice as you beg your child to just sit, to be quiet, as you feel everyone's eyes on you. Not everyone is looking, but I know it feels that way. I know you're wondering sometimes, is this worth it? Why do I bother? I know you often leave church more exhausted than fulfilled, but what you are doing is so important. When you're here, the church is filled with a joyful noise. When you're here, the body of Christ is more fully present. When you are here, we're reminded about that this worship thing we do isn't about Bible study or personal quiet contemplation, but coming together to worship as a community where we're all welcome, where we share in the word and sacrament together. When you are here, I have hope that these pews won't be empty in 10 years when your kids are old enough to sit quietly and behave. I know that they're learning how and why we worship now, before it's too late. They're learning that worship is important. I see them learning. In the midst of the cries and the whines and the giggles and the crinkling of the crisp bags and the growing pile of crumbs, I see a little girl who insists on going two pews up to share peace with someone she's never met. I hear a little boy slurping, quite loudly, every last drop of his communion wine out of his cup, determined not to miss a drop of Jesus. I watch a child excitedly colour a cross and point to the one at the front of the sanctuary. I hear the echoes of, Amen! Just a few seconds after the rest of the community says it together. I watch a boy just learning to read, try to sound out the words in the worship book, or count his way to hymn 672. Even on weeks when I can't see my own children learning, because, well, it's one of those mornings, I can see your child learning. I know how hard it is to do what you're doing, but I want you to know it matters. It matters to me. It matters to my children not to be alone in the pew. It matters to the congregation to know that families care about faith, to see young people, and even on those weeks when you can't see the little moments, it matters to your children. It matters that they learn that worship is what we do as a community of faith and that everyone is welcome, that their worship matters. When we teach children that their worship matters, we teach them that they are enough right here and now as members of the church community. They don't need to wait until they can believe, pray, or worship in a certain way to be welcome here. And I know adults who are still looking to be shown that too. It matters that children learn that they're an integral part of this church, that their prayers, their songs, and even their badly or perfectly timed, depending on who you ask, cries and whines are a joyful noise because it means they're present. I know it's hard, but thank you for what you do when you bring your children to church. Please know that your family, with all of its noise, struggle, commotion, and joy, are not simply tolerated. You're a vital part of the community gathered in worship. Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." And we're all children of God. It's not only about those who are kind of so high. Whoever welcomes someone as a child welcomes me. So may our welcome of one another and Jesus be full and wholehearted. Jesus said, "Whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Are we ready to be that humble? Jesus said, "Unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven." That wasn't meant to be an exclusion clause. It was meant to be an invitation. Because if you do, then Jesus promises that you will experience life in all its fullness, his presence with you in the good times and the bad, and an invitation to be a child of God. Let's pause for a moment in prayer. Jesus, we pray that you would help us to rediscover what it means to be childlike. Forgive us when we're childish with one another, with you. But help us to rediscover that childlike wonder at who you are. That childlike trust that you will keep your word. That childlike love that loves because of who you are as our Heavenly Father. That childlike joy at recreation and play. That childlike capacity to forgive and be forgiven.